What's going on, everybody? It's your boy, DJ Anonymous for Sports Biz Music, the podcast, episode 91. And I got a special guest on the show today. I got my boy, D-Mac. How you doing, my brother?
What's going on? D-Mac, Miami's finest. Best of the day. Checking in.
So,
my boy, what's going on?
That's what's up, man. So, before we get into questions and everything, tell the people about yourself. Just a little bit of introduction before we go into questions.
I'm from Bronzeville. I'm from the inner city of Miami. I started rapping when I was about 9. I grew up in a family of music. My grandfather was a band director at Miami Jackson, Booker T, and was actually the orchestra instructor at Florida Memorial. So I grew up pretty much getting music beat into me,
right?
Playing instruments, and I just found the gift of words. I stuck with it. Rapping, turning to battle rapping into, professionally making music in the studio. Mm-hmm. And then from there, songwriting and producing. Pretty much it.
That's what's up. So, like, tell us about the beginners. Like, what made you want to, officially pick up the pen and, just want to, get in the rap?
Well, originally, in elementary school, me and a group of my friends, we used to idolize the No Limit Soldiers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And, so what we would do is we would write raps and spit raps as if we were them.
Right.
So I would see murder. So I would write my verses as if I would see murder. And then eventually I started growing into my own. But the first album my mom ever bought me was Mace Harlem World.
Yeah.
And from there, the Mace Feel So Good video, I saw that video, the flashing lights, the girls. I was like, man, I'm a rap. And I never wanted to do anything else.
So Mace was like one of your main influences?
Yeah, absolutely, in the beginning, initially, yeah.
So, yeah, because, I remember a lot of people said, especially, people from Harlem, because people don't know that Mace actually from Florida. He was born in Florida. He was born in Jacksonville, and he moved up to Harlem. Because on Jim Jones, one of his interviews, he was saying that. I didn't even know about that. It was Jim Jones or Cameron, but... Nah, that's you the first one to actually say Mace is one of the...
Oh, yeah, for sure. He was one of the smoothest guys out at that time. And I was young, I was impressionable, so the Feel So Good video, it's a real flashy video, what I'm saying? They had on the shiny suits, they was in the casino, lights, the money, the Benzes. I was man, that's what I want to do.
So why rap at the time? Because, Miami at the time was very new. As far as rap, Uncle Luke, it was more booty shaking music and stuff like that. And then once JT Money and Trick Daddy came, they're the ones who opened up the doors, of course, for the conscious rap. So why rap in particular?
I don't know. I always had a personality of me. I just do my own thing. And even when I was in elementary school, like I told you, we was doing the No Limit thing. The popular group at that time outside of No Limit was Bone Thugs.
Yeah.
And I didn't really listen to Bone Thugs. I was on to the Mace and Puff Daddy. I was listening to lyrical music. And then on the weekends, I would go to my cousin's house, and my his older brothers would just be playing all of, the real lyrical rap, the Wu-Tang, the Method Man, and it just rubbed off on me. So I never really paid attention to the Miami scene. I was too young for that.
Okay, yeah, because then again, it was particularly new and stuff like that.
What made you want to
get into battle rap? Because now battle rap is, slowly becoming kind of big down here in Miami.
Like I said, my cousins, man. Yeah. My older cousins, my cousin Lee, my cousin Natty, shout out to them. Me and my other cousin, I started off in a duo. It was me and my other cousin, he's the same age as me. And his older brothers, they would just have us, don't listen to that, listen to this.
Right.
We would listen to whatever's on the radio, that's what we would like. Don't listen to that, listen to this. And that's why we would listen to State Property and the Diplomats and the early G-Unit music, saying? So it just kind of rubbed off. And then around that time, once I became a teenager, YouTube just had started being popular, so the Smack DVDs was out, and it just, monkey see, monkey do. When you developing your craft,
right,
and you really starting to create your own identity, you're just taking a little thing from everything else. And I just was really good at metaphors and That's it?
Yeah, because I can tell, like, you know, the only song I heard, you know, I apologize for, like, you know, I didn't know that the music was on iTunes and stuff. I probably did the name wrong and stuff like that. But when I heard Pray For Me, like, I can hear, like, it's not a particular, it's not a typical, you know, Dade County, like, song.
Yeah.
You know, like, honestly, like, I've been in the phase for a long time since I was born, but as I got older, I started feeling like, you know, the police brutality and then, you know, people not caring about what's going on in our own neighborhoods and stuff with the violence and stuff like that. Yeah. And then, like, you know, coming from high school to college into the real world, how, like, it's so much of a challenge for us black folks to, you know, get Absolutely. In and things like that. Like, I felt that in that song. You know what I'm saying?
Pray For Me. Well, growing up in the inner city, you learn this stuff fast. You learn this stuff early.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my friends, when I was in middle school, my homie D-Roy, rest in peace, D-Roy,
mm-hmm.
he got killed by the police.
Right.
Got shot in his back, running from the police. Mm-hmm. He didn't have any guns on him, got killed. So at an early age, probably like 15 when this happened, 14, 15, you start to see, like, are the police my enemy?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you realize.
Hold on. It's recording.
Oh, yeah, so, you know what I'm saying? We learned early that the police are our allies.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, from just getting profiled to harassed to. I always make music that, you know, is conscious, at least street conscious.
Right.
You know, to that was a song and a vision where I really wanted to get my point across.
Right.
And the song featured Blaze, who a few years back had a real big song in the city called Quarter of a Century. We made the
Yeah.
Both of us, we kind of broke in around the same time. I had a song called My Will that did pretty good, pretty big on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And he had Quarter of a Century out, that's how we met. And we always said we wanted to make a song. What's crazy is the night that I told him to come to the studio to record the song, he got pulled over and harassed by the police. He missed the whole session.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, like when I was 18 years old, I was going down south, you know, had the Impala with the tents and stuff. And I think I was in Pinecrest, because I was coming from, somewhere from down south. You know, down south is different. A lot of people don't know that, but when I was driving and stuff, I had left the light, the green light, whatever, went up. I was 18 years old. I didn't know how to drive like that a little bit, so, you know, I was kind of nervous, you feel me? So, the cop came by behind us, and he was he was pretty much profiling me.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought, when he came back, he was like, oh, I thought you was somebody else. So I'm like, you know, and then a year or 2 years later, I'm in West Pine, same thing. Like, he come over, you know, with my ex at the time. And he was saying, like, oh, my bad, like, your record is clean, because he was saying, like, you know, I'm from Miami and shit, so, you know, being over there, they gonna think everybody from Miami is some thugs and shit. Yeah. And I was telling him, like, you know, my old girl gonna trip if I, you know, do some bad shit. Like, I'm more worried about her cursing me out than y'all. Because that's my OG, you feel me? So it's just like, you know, it's just crazy, like, how, like, we really, like, everywhere we turn, there's always something, you know what I'm saying? Even when we do right. And
even when we're completely innocent, they have their little tactics where they like to try to provoke you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. Just stay out of people's way.
Yeah.
I tell that, like, stay out of people's way.
That's what I do, man, like, because honestly, like, I'm the type of person where I don't believe every police officer is bad, but at the same time, it's like, it's sad, like, how, like, I'm so accustomed of, like just trying to be cautious. Like, even if like I'm in a scene and I call them and it's something that's dealing with somebody else or whatever, like, I still be worried about myself, because I'm like, you know, I'm a target, you feel me? So.
And the worst part about it is, you know, you learn this stuff just growing up on your own, and then when you
then when you start seeing movies like the NWA movie,
yeah,
and it's just like, damn, this should be going on forever. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's gonna stop. We gotta change.
Yeah, man. So like, what you think about the like being from Miami? What you think like right now, Miami and Florida, well, the whole Florida in general is like a hotbed now.
It's on fire.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know, but like, you know that saying, every 10 years it'd be like two artists that'll come up. Mm-hmm. So like, what you think about right now, like especially in South Florida of the zone, like Dade, Broward, Palm Beach, like how you see all these different artists coming out now?
I feel like it's on fire. I feel like the door is wide open for everybody. Mm-hmm. Just work. All you gotta do is work. That's it. Put out quality music. Work. I would like to see more artists in my lane. You know, the conscious. Mm-hmm. But we're figuring that out too. It's some guys out there that's doing anything.
But you think like, I remember a few years ago like, they call y'all the backpack rappers because, you know, they're not really, it's kind of weird because, like I said earlier, like JT and Trick Daddy opened up that door, but they not used to seeing that from, like, I guess, like, underground artists and stuff like that from downhill. Like, don't you think that, like, it's still, like, kind of like a challenge?
It is a challenge. It's a couple guys that don't really get the notoriety that they should.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about locally. I'm talking locally, because they have huge fan bases, you know, on the internet and all over the place, geographically.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the kind of artist that they are and the content,
mm-hmm.
and Miami is one of the places where you're from matters a lot.
Right.
So for me, I kind of got the best of both worlds because I'm from where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
People are aware of that. And then at the same time, I have the conscious music. But I mean, I just think we just need to continue to build more and more platforms for every kind of music.
Right.
I mean, we had the ratchet, we got the dub music.
Mm-hmm.
Now we need to start, you know, paving the way for the
Yeah, like I looked at, like for example, like Pitbull. But we all know he was a street, you know, street nigga at first. But, you know, for me, a lot of people that don't know, like, the music industry and stuff like that, for me, it's like, the man didn't sell out. The man still look over, he still, like, take care for the different hoods and stuff. Yeah, so it's like, it's about growth at the end of the day. You don't want to limit yourself. Like, for example, like Iceberg, for example. This man, I seen him grow up from, you know, being that kid. I mean, he older than me by a couple years, but being that kid, like, Norland High School, and doing all the tours and stuff like that, but not on the business. And I seen a lot of y'all doing it. And I feel like it's our generation that changed that, because the generation before, don't get me wrong, like, Uncle Luke had the records and stuff, the record label, but I feel like with us, we got the record label, we got the clothing line, we want to get into, like, a whole bunch of stuff.
Well, you know, I mean, that comes with the evolution of the music business, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't even pay as much as it's paying now.
Yeah.
Artists are making more money than they ever made.
Mm-hmm.
In the music, you know what I'm saying? So it's good that we got people like Iceberg. That's mm-hmm. an example of
music.
You have a hot song, but take that momentum and turn it into
mm-hmm.
multiple businesses. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So do you think, I like to ask artists this, like, do you think, like, streaming, like, this, like, kind of like made it easy for anybody to make music? Like, do you miss hard copies in a way?
I for sure miss hard copies.
Cause, you know, our generation, it's like, it's strange. Our generation, these kids growing up, they don't know about the hard CDs. Even for us, like, we was around the time where we even know what was a cassette. You feel me? So it's like, a lot of people say that they missed the times where you had a CD and they had, like, the little booklet in there and stuff like that.
Yeah, the music isn't as personal.
Yeah.
As it, you know what I'm saying? But I think with streaming, it's just the way of the world. The way the world has evolved,
mm-hmm.
I just think that for artists, it gets mm-hmm. tricky. Because mm-hmm. it's easier to put the music out.
Mm-hmm.
So the quality of the music doesn't matter
mm-hmm.
to as many artists as it is to.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I can put a song out there, put a song out tomorrow, mm-hmm. and pretty much whichever song catches. Mm-hmm. It's not about putting the best mm-hmm. music out. For me, it's going to always be about putting the best music out. That's why it's always at least a year or a 2 year gap mm-hmm. between my releases. Because I want to make sure I'm not saying the same words in my verses, talking about the same stuff. I want to go travel, mm-hmm. experience, see something new, so mm-hmm. I have something new to say, mm-hmm. learn something new, watch more documentaries, so right.
I feel like what it is too though, now lately you start seeing a lot of artists trying to wait a year or so mm-hmm. to drop music. You remember back in our day, Jay-Z dropped like Blueprint, you wait like a year, year and a half, 2 years maybe to for him to get a new album because he had so many songs, like yeah. you know what I'm saying? So and also like the mixtape game, I miss that era. I feel like streaming kinda ruined it in a way.
Yeah, I agree. It hindered the craft a little bit. Now mm-hmm. people are on the track to, you know, do the freestyle mixtape like how Wayne did, Squad mm-hmm. mixtape. There's nowhere to put them. Mm-hmm. Where you gonna put them?
Right.
These kids, I mean, everybody now, you know, Apple Music and Spotify, ain't mm-hmm. really, you know, in a rush to go and get the app.
Yeah.
Streaming off Safari is. It's a mess, but they're figuring it out though.
Yeah.
I like what Drake and Wiz did. They mm-hmm. took the proper first steps. Wiz mm-hmm. put Cushion Hunters on Apple Music.
Right.
And Drake has put So Far Gone. So hopefully we get J. Cole to do the same thing with his mixtape.
Yeah.
And
the Big Sean's along. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I just feel like, you know, from like 08, well not even just 08, probably like 06 to like 2012, 2013 was like the golden era for mixtapes. You know what I'm saying? Like Lil Wayne Dedications and Gucci Man with his mixtapes. And you know, we talked about J. Cole's and the Wiz Khalifa's and the Currencies and the Nipsey's and stuff like that.
I think the blogs helped. Cause I mm-hmm. feel like the mixtape era was big before that.
Right.
With the Cool mixtape.
Oh yeah.
And the G-Unit mixtape. Mm-hmm. And the Wayne and the Squad Up mixtape. Like I was the biggest Squad fan. That's really how I honed my craft. Every Squad mixtape that came out, right. I was like the unofficial member. And whatever beat they rapped on,
yeah.
I wrote to that same beat and try to make
and
my
record. And you recorded it?
And recorded it on the cassette.
Yeah.
That's how I got better. So yeah. But I think the blog era made the big,
yeah,
so that is 08
to
like 13.
Yeah, yeah. Even though we got like podcasts and stuff now, blogs are coming back slowly.
Yeah, I see it. And it's just reinventing.
Yeah, because I feel like we need blogs. Yeah. You know, podcast is cool, but you know, I feel like blogs, you need someone to actually write an article and just talk about this artist because
journalism.
Yeah, exactly.
It's too much.
It does.
The right kind of journalism. Not TMZ.
TMZ, nah. That's when TMZ came out, I ain't really like respect them because it's like, I'm like, what happened to like the Source and everything? Like, what happened to that Vibe magazine? You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't have, like, they trying to come back or they trying to create new stuff, but even like some of the new stuff, it's like they do, like they come up with the right thing, but then they turn it to try to make it all like savage and stuff like that. You don't really need that, like in terms of like you go from talking about music to now you want to talk about the news all the time. Now all of a sudden, like, no, it's supposed to be a music platform. You know what I'm saying?
You get caught up in the clickbait.
Yeah.
Cause it pays. Mm-hmm. The advertising space and all that stuff. So I don't know. I don't fuck with the gospel site.
Yeah,
so
me either. Yeah. It's crazy, man. So you got nominated for Best Rapper at Miami Entertainment Awards.
Yeah. Shouts out to everybody who nominated me.
How you feel about that, like having like a first awards, like Miami Entertainment Awards? I know we had awards before.
Yeah, we had the Best in Data Awards.
Yeah.
I won Best Lyricist at that.
Yeah.
So this is nothing new for me. No, I think that it's important.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important. I think we need to, everybody should be supporting the award show because this is the platform that they're giving all the artists.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to do it.
Right.
And it's to uplift the city.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can only see good coming from it. Years down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I see how big they're doing it for this first year. Just imagine 10 years
from now. Yeah, 10 years from now, yeah.
Everybody got behind it and supported it and made it a thing. You know, Miami, we good at downplaying other people's stuff. We good at, when we're not a part of it, we good at
that. But why is that? I never understood that. Cause even with the podcast, like I feel like Miami media in the future is gonna be big because we stick together. Like the podcast, like we stick together. I mean, it may be different from our platform. May be too different in a way, but that's something that we need anyway. But as far as like artists and rappers and promoters, like why is so much of a like a hate?
I don't think it's hate. I just think we never really had
cohesiveness. I'm trying
that,
to say
that structure.
Structure, yeah.
We never had structure. There's no business structure in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Really. You know, it's getting how you live.
Mm-hmm.
It's all survival. So, yeah, me and my guys rocking over here. Y'all doing whatever y'all doing, whatever. We doing whatever we doing.
Right.
But that's changing a lot. I think the internet has brought a lot of people, a lot of artists closer.
Mm-hmm.
We're familiar with each other, so when we do see each other in person, it's a different vibe.
It's a vibe.
Because the familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
See, you know, we raised off that we're not friendly. That's how we raised.
Yeah, cause people don't understand. Like Miami wasn't. It's not really. We don't really have gangs. Like it's just more of like the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like even my grandfather, he told me like he was born and raised in Overtown, but if you was from like Liberty City somewhere, you had to either be family or if you don't know you, like it'll be like some type of problem and stuff like that.
That's how we raised.
Mm-hmm.
It's just survival tactics.
Yeah.
Survival tactics. But I feel like the internet is changing that.
Yeah.
Because you see more Miami artists working with each other than ever.
Yeah. Like,
ever.
and I loved it. Like even like you know the DJs. Like
yeah.
There was a point in time, artists and the DJs wasn't getting along. Even some of the DJs, other DJs wasn't getting along. But now it's more.
Yeah, it's better. But I feel like that's always going to be the same. Like I said, we don't have structure. There's nobody to go to. When you want your record played, when you want to meet the DJs.
Mm-hmm.
Who you love?
And I also feel like it's politics. Like you look at the radio now. The radio is not how it used to be even 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like even underground. The underground is more like how radio used to be 10 years ago. But like I remember, I'm not gonna say the station name, but I remember a while ago, I had an artist from here. I was trying to put him on in the underground because you know that's how it used to be like that. You know.
Work me up.
So he was like $300. I'm like what? I'm like, bro, like, I might as well just try to go to 99 Jams or 1-3-1-3-5 to beat. Like, I'm not knocking your hustle, but it's like, you gotta.
Everybody gonna have a different price, though. This just gotta figure it out. It's politics, though.
It's politics.
My advice to everybody is just work your relationship and reach the people. Nobody can stop you if you think
of it. Yeah, you're right.
I've always been for the people. Yeah. I always made music and got my music directly to the people. Yeah. I dealt with the award shows and the DJs, all that stuff after.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way to do it.
It's all about building a cult following. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's one of the important things I always want to talk about with like artists, like how is having a cult following so important in your point of view?
Because it can't be stopped.
Right.
It kind of rules out the politics. When you got the people, when you got the support, when you got the following, it's hard to be denied.
Because
the radio don't play a song. Okay. put your song out and the people get it,
right,
eventually somebody's gonna have to play it.
Right.
The people want it. And yeah, you have to give the people what they want. That's it.
Yeah, and that's why I never understood like how the radio changed so much. Where honestly I feel like they'll make more money, you know, locally. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many people down here. You feel me? So, it's like, do the math. Like, I remember they used to do something to every, I think they still do it, 99 Jams, but you got to vote for the artist. But I remember that they'll, like, every Friday, they'll, like, play, like, a local, like, a few local artists.
Local Love, yeah. Local Love on Sunday. That's, yeah, like, that's where I broke. I broke in through Local Love Sunday. DJ Rio,
like, yeah. But it's like they don't really, you know, they don't do that no more. Like,
I feel like they just, everybody's just trying to find ways to balance it out. Mm-hmm. Radio is in one of those things where they frighten the internet. Mm-hmm. So they got to make sure that they're still a business at the end of the day. They got to make sure they're doing what they're doing to keep the radio stations up and running.
Mm-hmm.
Which, unfortunately, sometimes cuts into the local artists. I mean, it's all this business. It's all business right. Politics.
And as we're talking about it, like, what type of advice would you give, like, an up-and-coming artist, DJ, producer, about the music business so far, from your experience?
First thing first, protect your creation.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you create, make sure you do your due diligence in making sure that your business is right. There's nothing worse than getting your big break and your business is right. You're going to get taken advantage of.
Right.
And, work, man. Just work. And take your time. Like, all the artists that don't be in such a rush to get the likes on Instagram, get the followers.
Mm.
Make sure that you are making the best possible music that you can make before you put it out. Because especially now when it's an oversaturation of artists, everybody's a rapper. You got strippers turning rappers. You got the dope boys turning rappers.
Mm.
You got the scammers turning rappers. Everybody's looking at rap, I think because the lifestyle is so glamorous.
Right.
Everybody's looking at rap like a lick.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an art.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that you don't get drowned in all of saturation is if you make sure that you are putting out the best art.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, even, I ain't gonna lie, like, if I was an artist working on my craft probably 2 years ago, and to me, I feel like it's perfect, I put out an album right now because music's kind of slow right now. If you notice, like, last year, every day, for some reason, every day, it'd be something new. Now it's like, all right, the music kind of slow right now. I can, like, listen to the songs from, like, last year and the year before. I can check out some old local artists and stuff, some up-and-coming artists and things like that.
Yeah, and I think that's all coming back to people been putting out bad music.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say bad music, but
rest music. Like, it's like kind of like it could have been good if you would have just slept on it for like a year or so, or even just a few months or so.
Yeah, people not really care. Because it's so easy to put out now.
Mm-hmm.
I put out a song out today, I put a song out tomorrow, a song out next week.
Mm-hmm.
And whichever one catching people blows up, people putting out albums with 40 songs on it. Come on, man.
Like, I never understood it. Like, I know they trying to, you know, cheat code the game as far as, like, with the 40 songs and stuff like that. But it's like, I want, like, the most songs I listen to, honestly, is probably, like, 18.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, coming from my generation, you know, like, we can listen to 18 tracks.
Mm-hmm.
But about 40, that's a mistake. But remember back in the day, they had that, but it'd be, like, 2 minutes, a minute a track, you feel me? So,
I mean, like I'm saying, there's no way you're putting out 40 songs and you feel like all 40 are great songs.
Nah. It's like a compilation, like, album.
Yeah, but I think that falls back on the listeners, though.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep giving people, if as a listener, if you're giving me anything, any kind of quality music, and I just accept it, you're going to keep giving it to me.
Right.
But if you give it to me and I say, uh-uh. Go back in the studio and tighten up. We ain't buying that shit.
I think also, too, that you made a great point. I feel like as fans as well, I think we need to do that.
Grad's gotta step it up. Yeah. I mean, all the music sound the same.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching a YouTube video with battle rapper Daylight.
Yeah, Daylight. Yeah, Daylight crazy, man.
He made a great point. He battle rap too. He was saying
everything's
rap,
the same. Yeah. Yeah.
The cadences are the same. The flow is the same. Mm-hmm. The hand gestures the same. It's the same thing with you know, rap. The beats the same.
Mm-hmm.
The chorus repetition is the same.
Mm-hmm.
The flow is the same. And if the listeners are just all right with it,
mm-hmm.
why stop?
You see, like, see, that's what we was talking about. Everything trickled down, you know, from the mainstream to the underground to like everything, like. I remember, what was the name of the battle rap show that should come on MTV a long time ago? I'm talking about, like, this would be, I remember they had a show like Remy Ma vs. Somebody. It was like, I think it was Fight Club. And, like, now it's like, now they trying to like, make it more pay-per-view and stuff so they could, like, so people could be more invested into it. Cause I heard the last battle rap show that, I remember Joe Budden was talking about, he said it was really good. Cause everything was like, as it felt like how it used to be like, you know, like 10 to 15 years ago. But like, I remember that video was talking about like, it's true, like, I seen like a clip, I think it was Cassidy versus somebody, I forgot who it is. Yeah, good. And it's true, like, it's all about like, now it's like, as a battle rapper, it's all about like, how many people you bring. And what you have and stuff like that, what you learn. Well, back in the day, it was about your lyrics.
Yeah.
And it's crazy, like, and I honestly feel like social media is a blessing and a curse. I feel like social media, what it did, it helped people get noticed, but it get to a point where they get noticed so much that they become cocky and not humble no more and not hungry and stuff like that. And I'm like, you know, like, for me, you still gotta have the same hunger. You feel me? I know it's like you look at, for example, like a J. Cole, how he came up. To me, he still like the same nigga before he, you know, before he blew up, you know what I'm saying? So just like, I feel like social media and like all these like platforms and stuff and content, they showing a lot of light to people, which is good. But the curse is some people handle it the wrong way.
That's all an individual.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, not everybody, but it's the individual.
I agree with you. This is the world we live in. The times we live in, man.
But let's talk about like female rappers real quick,
because. Okay.
It's good, like it's great, like you know, Tokyo Jets, Megan Thee Stallion, you know. Shout out to my wife, you know what I'm saying, but Megan Thee Stallion, that's like my, you know, my crush, you know what I'm saying. Cause she remind me of like Trina back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she talked about like the, you know, the sex appeal and stuff, but she still like she's lyrical, like she's still rapping. You got Rhapsody, you have all these females coming
out.
I heard about No Name. And
No Name one of the best lyricists out.
Yeah. What's the
girl rapper?
Yeah.
Out, period.
Yeah. And what's the girl name from Philly?
Tierra Watt,
yeah. Like, how you feel about that now, like, versus a few years ago where it used to be just Nicki Minaj and everybody else?
I mean, the girls rapping better than the boys now.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, I saw it coming.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it coming. They hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Their music is about as close to reality as it gets, because they're talking about, you know, whether it be their sexuality or whether it's like being a woman. And it's more real as opposed to, you know, the cocky rap gets old after a while. There's only so many times you talk about money, cars, clothes, and hoes without it being redundant. There's only so many ways people can talk about it differently. And I just think that the women are talking fresh. I think they're talking that talk and they're confident.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're comfortable.
Yeah, it's over. Like, you look at, like, you know, QC, you know, he one of my favorite, like, managers, executives now. And what he did for the City Girls is, like, he was like, all right, you know, these two girls from Miami, Florida, particular, like, Opa-locka. And, like, I know one of, both from Opa-locka, I know one from Opa-locka and one from the City. Yeah. And it's like, he didn't change them. He was like, you know, I want y'all to be the same.
You can't change that.
Yeah, like, especially.
I mean, if you look at them, they're so raw, they're so authentic. And I think the reason that they grew up the way they did, it's not necessarily because they're the greatest rappers. I mean, we know they're not the greatest. One of them don't even really rap for them.
Yeah, Young Miami. I like Young Miami choruses, dude.
I mean, but the thing about it is, whatever it is they're saying, they mean it.
Yeah, and it's.
And that's what I'm telling you about that confidence. Mm-hmm. They mean everything they're saying. Mm-hmm. So when they say it and the women hear it, they feel it.
Yeah.
It's but, relatable.
And it's like, honestly, like the City Girls, like I was telling my homeboys the other day, I was like, I know they may not be in anybody top five as far as like lyrical, but the reason why I love them, like they just paint a picture like how Miami is, and like that real Miami, like, you know, it's that same sound. Like every time people come down here, they think about the beaches and stuff, but they don't think about the inner city. They don't think about open lockers and the Carol Cities and stuff.
And they are the epitome of what the Miami girl is like.
Yes.
You've never been to Miami and you listen to a City Girl album,
right,
you watch a City Girl video, or you do a City Girl interview, you've damn near been to Miami.
Yeah, that's Miami.
It's raw, all the way. It's authentic, and they mean everything they're saying. And when you mean everything you're saying, I've always been a big believer of, you can only fake it for so long.
Right.
And people can know the difference. They know when you're telling the truth. They know you're lying. They know you don't really mean it and it's just a gimmick.
Right.
So when you have somebody like that and you can tell that they mean everything that they're saying,
Right.
Which is a prime example.
Right. It's true. Before we get in your top five, how do you feel about like the culture of Miami as far as like for example, like USA Flea Market closed down? Like a historical, you know, place. Like everybody been there. Like I remember I should go on field trips. You know, they had the little area and stuff with the swings and all that stuff. Like how do you feel about like how like they trying to, I guess, get rid of the history of Miami, especially from the black community?
I mean, it breaks my heart, to be honest, and I wish I was in a better position to
prevent
it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To help prevent it. When I think about stuff like that, it always brings me back to Nipsey.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because he was making sure that didn't happen to that area.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we had some people that, you know, with the capital.
Right.
Because there's some people that would want to do it but can't afford to do it.
Right.
It's a money game.
Yeah, because people understand, like, the Rick Rosses and them, they millionaires, but you got to have, like, almost
a
million.
Monopoly is a real thing in real life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It sucks, man. My neighborhood getting gentrified. I see they've been tearing down projects.
Yeah.
They're still trying to tear the public means down. They're pushing us out, man. Trying to erase our history. It's crazy.
Yeah, and it's upsetting because, like, not even just in Dade, but, like, even in Broward, like, you know, and Palm Beach, like, throughout Florida. Like, I remember I went up to Jacksonville. I've been to Jacksonville a few times, and they trying to gentrify the black communities, like.
Yeah, that's what they do. They put us somewhere, they have us all in one barrel, they shake us up, they keep us there, they put stuff in the barrel, and make us, you know, genocide.
Right.
And then when they're ready, they come and take it back.
Right. And it's like, when you think of Miami, people think of like, all right, you know, the Cubans, you know, they built it up and stuff. But in all reality, if you don't do your research, the slaves that came from like the Carolinas and Georgia came down, then the Bahamians and all of them, they came and had them come to the Bahamas and they came back over here and they pretty much built up Miami. You know, and a lot of people don't, they don't know that, and I feel like
a lot of people don't know about that. They don't know about the riots.
Right.
It's a lot of my, it's a lot of black history.
Mm-hmm. And this is very upsetting because, like, bro, like, Miami is like, I remember they should call like Overtown the Harlem of the South.
Yeah.
You know, and just like, you know, my great grandparents, they own like the whole 7th Ave. At one point, and this is like, I asked my mom what happened. She was like, the white man. You get what I'm saying? So it's like, for me, growing up, especially like in Miami, at one point, I was like, we all want to move one day.
Yeah.
But I was like, I feel like I don't want to move yet. I want to somehow, some way, continue that legacy as far as like in our community. Because like Hialeah, they trying to expand it all throughout the city. Mm-hmm. To me, that's not right.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like 15 years from now, they gonna be like, "Oh, that's Hialeah." I'm like, yeah, "Nah." 15
years from now, it won't be a Bronx
club. Yeah,
and that's Bronx club is right next door to Hialeah.
Yeah, it's right
so
there.
So I'm watching Hialeah take.
Yeah.
10 years from now, it won't be a Bronx club.
Yeah, like look at Miami. I mean, with Miami Gardens. I still call it the Carroll City and Open Lock and all that. But even though they changed the name,
mm-hmm.
I like the fact that they keeping that community, you know, black. Like, it's slowly a lot of black businesses growing and stuff like that. But it's just like, still, like, we have to, when we build, we have to keep it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have to keep it and then somehow, some way, create something that show like everything that was created in the past. Because as we get older, you know, grandparents, great, you know, great grandparents, our parents, they the last generation that actually knew all of that. We knew of like, you talk about like flea markets and stuff. We knew about like the Club 56 and everything. Like we knew about them monuments and stuff like that. And that's part of our history, you feel me? So it's like, I don't never want to, like when I have kids, I'm like, listen, like it's a lot of history down here in Miami.
Definitely.
You know, and it's crazy, man. I feel like, you know, I was talking to DJ EFN from Drink Champs, I had him on the show, and he was telling me like how like, you know, a lot of people from the South don't consider the Southern no more. And I'm like, how? Like, when I went to LA, that was like, bro, I can tell you from Florida, like, you sound different, you know? Like, even though we from, it's a city, we still, like, for us, I feel like it's still a Southern culture, but we just different. We move different, you feel me? Like, it's a little bit more fashion.
I think that probably comes from all the island influence.
Yeah.
It's a real Caribbean place. Miami mm-hmm. being
Yeah.
It's
yeah, bro. Like, man, so let's get in your top five. So, who's in your top five? Like
Miami?
No, I'm talking about from rappers, like from yo.
Oh, for me?
Yeah.
My top five all time.
Mm-hmm. All time.
Number one, Nas.
Okay.
Number two, Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Eminem.
Thank you. You the first one to why they had Eminem. What?
Number two, Eminem. No,
why you think that?
You don't even gotta ask the question. I answer it. You don't even have to ask the question. Just because it's not relatable.
Right.
To black culture.
Right.
That's the only reason.
But it's like.
But if you're talking skill set, there's mm-hmm. nobody. That will ever be able to.
Yeah, cause it's like I understand like I guess the story format in a way, but when Eminem say certain stuff, for me, I may not relate to him as far as like, you know, being white and shit, whatever, but he did come from like the, you know, the hard shit, you feel me? So
yeah, for sure.
Certain stuff he says like, alright, it's like, you know, you just being different from a lot of people. Like, you know, when I first went to private school, like, I was a bit different from a lot of people after a while. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's just, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like Eminem, he in my top two just because of his skill set.
Yeah, definitely. I'll say Nas, M, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
All time?
Yeah. I know people got, I remember people got an all time, then they got the lyricist, and then they got impact.
Yeah, I put Wayne at 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then number 4 is a tie. It's a tie between Andre 3000 and Lupe Fiasco.
You the first one that had Lupe. Why Lupe? And I feel like Lupe is very underrated.
Yeah. And then after that top 5, it's Cole and Kendrick are like they
right there, yeah.
They right there.
Cause they pretty much they all like they like our Biggie and Pop for our generation.
They right there.
Yeah.
They right there.
Yeah. That's how I feel like in my top 5, like J. Cole. He kind of come in and out, because I got Ludacris in my top 5.
Okay, I got that.
So it's just like him and Ludacris, like, it's hard, bro. All right,
well, when it's all said and done, Cole will take that spot.
Yeah.
For sure, because he's not done. He got
yeah.
more albums.
Yeah. So, for the last question, like, where you see yourself out of 10 years from now?
10 years from now. Moguled up, man. I spent a lot of time. I spent a lot of time with Jermaine Dupri. That's my big homie.
Jermaine Dupri? Yeah, that's what's up, bro.
My big homie. People always ask, "Oh, why you don't have him sign you? Why you don't tell him get on your song?" Man. I've never been a handout guy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When people see pictures of me and JD, or when they see us out, I want people to understand. It's a boss amongst a boss.
Mm-hmm.
Not the famous guy and the little
right.
You know what I'm saying? That's how I carry myself. I carry myself like a boss. That's why I think I get respect from him and other people. You know what I'm saying? And I just want to be a mix of JD and Jay-Z.
Right.
Jay-Z the rapper / Mogi and Jermaine Dupri the mogul / songwriter / genius.
Yeah,
genius to me.
Yeah. I think honestly, even Jermaine Dupri, I think because, you know, when producers come from the South in particular,
mm-hmm.
I think they become, you know, kind of overlooked. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, people tend to forget about him, Manny Fresh,
yeah.
You know, like Timbaland and the Pharrells. Like, you know, it's kind of like... Like, damn, like, I know, you get what I'm saying? Like, I know we come from the South, but it's like, all the hits they made, like, JD had So Duff,
mm-hmm.
like, all the artists he had under him,
mm-hmm.
like, from Bow Wow, from, I would put them Franchise Boys, they had a run.
The Brat.
Like,
you can't dismiss that history.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm old. Mm-hmm. Different avenues.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna do something with tea. I'm gonna do something with clothing.
Mm-hmm.
I wanna do something with management. I wanna one day, you know, help. I wanna be one of the biggest assets to the Miami music culture,
mm-hmm.
entertainment culture, not just music.
Entertainment, like overall.
Yeah, because we need more outlets for film,
mm-hmm.
For filmmakers, for actresses, actors. All that,
so,
yeah, that's why I said 10 years, hold it up.
That's a plan, dog. Like, I just feel like at the end of the day, music is gonna, you know, it's gonna help you.
Yeah, get everything.
Get everything together, but then you utilize your assets, mm-hmm. and then.
Absolutely.
So you got any shout outs before we close it up?
No shout outs, but I'm coming. November. November 11th, stay on the album. November 11th, the first time I'm saying it to you.
That's what's up, so exclusive, so.
Yeah, you got
the
exclusive.
So you can't forget about your boy now.
I got you, man.
So anytime you come out with an exclusive, you know, you want to have an interview, hit me up, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it, stay on the album, November 11th.
That's what's up, man.
And when's the award show? The award show is September.
I think the 8th? That's a Sunday, right?
Yes, September 8th, yeah. I'll be in the building. I'll be tuxedoed up. Nominated for Best Rapper and Best EP. I put out a project.
Who's in that category, by the way, for Best Rapper? I know it's a lot of people.
I'll be lying if I say I know. I know Flo Kid.
Flo Kid, yeah, Flo Kid hard, bro.
Yeah, Flo Kid hard. I can't remember anybody. I think Major Nine is in there.
Major Nine.
I want to say Kid Omar.
Kid Omar, yeah.
And I can't remember anybody else. I can't remember. It kind of happened so fast. I was caught off guard by the award show, and I was caught off guard and I was nominated.
How that work, though? Like, what, they just reached out to you and they say you was nominated? Did somebody, like, did they do, like, a little voting?
Yeah, they did vote. I guess they opened up voting for nominations for different categories. I mean, when you talk Best Rapper, it's hard to talk about Best Rapper and not me.
Yeah, bro, because you, like...
And just the catalog I built. From all the freestyles, I had a run in, like 2012 and 2014, I did like 50 freestyles with every DJ in the city. There's no DJ, unless they're a brand new DJ.
Right.
The DJ Meets, the Sam Sneaks, the Stevie J's, the Feezy, they all know D-Max. The DJ Meets, the Lucky C's, DJ Phil, H2, Killer K, they all know D-Max. They all know me from the bars and being, you know, the best rapper. So anytime that category comes up, I don't want to sound cocky saying it, but I expect to be mentioned.
There's nothing wrong with that. Like, you got to know your worth at the end of the day.
Absolutely. So, I was pleased to see that I was mentioned. The people ain't forget about me. But I haven't put anything out. I haven't been active. Just trying to get my independent label. Get ready to launch that. The label stay warm. The album stay warm. Yeah, we're about to kick this thing off in November.
Hey man, like I tell everybody that come on the show, like I'm a pay attention to y'all, and like even from looking from your Instagram and stuff like that, like I love the way how you move, like you move, like you move in silence in a way, but you still show people like, all right, I'm still here.
Yeah. I'm still here, but I believe in moving in silence. I believe in making sure it's right before I've never been the one to post the snippets, the studio snippets. I feel like if you know I rap, I shouldn't have to show you I'm in the studio every day. You know I'm here, I'm working.
Right.
You know I'm working.
Yeah, you don't need to prove it.
Just,
you just show it with the music and stuff.
You see when the finished product comes. A chef don't get a recipe out.
That's true.
You just get the plate.
Yeah.
They bring the plates out. You get the plate. You ain't get to see him crack the egg and whip the batter. You ain't get to see that. I still believe in that. I believe in that process.
That's what's up, man. Hey, I appreciate you coming on the show, my dude, man. And this has been DJ Anonymous with Sports Biz Music, the podcast, episode 91 with my boy D-Mac.
Stay warm.
We out.
Yep.